Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Plale in the presenting chair. We also have Graham Rodway in the studio. David Jennings is on board, as well as Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power. So much good quality racing to get stuck into. But before we do, just a reminder that Racing Post Members Club are offering a 1 month free trial for their ultimate package. All you have to do is enter the code POSTCAST19 at the checkout. Visit www.racingpost.com/postcast19 for full terms and conditions. The link will be in the description, so make sure you take heed of that. Without further ado, we're going to tease you a little bit and go to Haydock before we get into Ascot and that excellent Christie 1965 chase, including Altior and Surname. But Haydock is still an excellent card in its own right, and the 115 is our first port of call. It's the Betfair Exchange graduation chase. A good race this in the past. It's been for producing decent horses, and Niall, have you got the betting for us?
I do, yeah, Maddie. Midnight Shadow is our 2-1 favourite. Jarvie's Bait is 9-4. The Hollow Ginge is 100-30. Activia 4-1, and Keeper Hill is 10-1.
Yeah, I'll start with you first, DJ. This is an interesting one. Obviously, Midnight Shadow, he was the best hurdler of these, and he looked to be going very well when falling at the last at Carlisle last time.
Yeah, I'd say he would have won at Carlisle. I think this is a stronger race. I actually think last year's winner, Activial, is going to be hard to beat again. I don't think it's quite as hot as it was last year. Maybe I'm wrong. I know River Wild fell at the last, but he still won the race by 16 lengths. And I just thought, you know, this has probably been the aim for him. He's been a really disappointing horse over the years. We thought he was going to be a star earlier on in his career. It hasn't progressed that way. But I think when you have a horse like Activial who takes the Haydock, and we'll speak about another grey who's taken the Haydock later on in the show, I think it's a big thing when a horse handles Haydock. And I think Activial loves the place. I'd imagine this has been the plan all season. And I just think if he repeats his run in the race last year, which he should, I think he's going to be very hard to beat.
Okay, an interesting one there. He won't be one of the shorter price runners. G-Rod, what did you think? I mean, I'm a big Jarvie's Plate fan, but he's going to have a fair old task on to defy that penalty against a good horse like Midnight Shadow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cracking little race. Obviously, you've got Activial who really sets a standard, won it last year, and you got a bunch of up-and-coming, promising novice types, one of which is Midnight Shadow, who I think will be favourite, and I think will be far too good for this lot if he can turn up on his best form. He was a really, really smart hurdler, by far the best of these. And last time at Carlisle, chasing, he was going to hack up. He was going to easily beat Hell's Kitchen, who I think is a bit of a tool, and then got the last all wrong and ended up on the floor. Not a massive fan of backing fallers last time out, but I just thought the Midnight Shadow had a class edge here. I thought the main danger was the Hollow Ginge, but the Hollow Ginge, all his best forms over 3 miles, and this is, what, 2.5, mile five? I think that Midnight Shadow will have too much pace for him over this distance. Sue Smith's on a massive long losing run.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, would that worry you?
No, because I think she's got a long odds on favourite this afternoon on Friday. I think it might win.
Okay.
Captain Moira, and obviously Midnight Shadow would have broken that losing run anyway,
yeah,
had he stayed up at Carlisle. So let's kick off with the favourite. I think it's going to be the favourite, Midnight Shadow, to get us off to a flyer.
Yep, the Hollow Ginge, if you do like him, he's just got cheek pieces on for the first time, so maybe that could help compensate for this step back in trip. Niall, what do you make of this heat?
Yeah, just on the Sue Smith point, I think she's 0-75 coming into today. Yeah, she could have a winner, as Graham said, but it would worry me a little bit taking a short price about anything of hers. So I'm just going to side with the Hollow Ginge. He looks a bit on his plate on ratings, but I actually think that Aintree race he was second last time was a strong handicap. He gets first-time cheek pieces, and Nigel Twiston Davis is in cracking form. So just at the prices, I'll go with the Hollow Ginge.
Okay, we'll move on to the 225, which is the Betfair Best Odds on ITV Race Stayers Handicap Hurdle. It's the Grade 3. Everyone used to know it as the Fixed Brush a couple of years ago. A great race last year produced Paisley Park, who we know what he's gone on to achieve. So maybe there'll be another one lurking in this field. I'll go to you first, G-Rod. I mean, plenty of unexposed sort of second season novices in here. Who would come out on top for you?
The 225, yeah. This is the old brush fixed brush race, isn't it? The one that David Piper used to have a great record in.
Yeah, he's got Umbregado this time around, who's had a wind up, and he was 6 of 9 to reserve tank at Aintree when we last saw him. But I must admit, I quite liked him before that. I thought he'd progress into a nice type. Do you think he's sort of one to take on?
Yeah, he's going to be favourite, and Pipe does excel with these staying types, especially staying chasers. But there are a couple on my radar. I thought AC Milan was a good price for Anthony Honeyball. He's been absolutely flying along and ran very well first time out. Plumpton behind quite a likely race winner, Dan McGrew. Now, the third, Theo's Charm, I tipped on Tuesday at Lingfield in a weaker race and just bumped into Barntown, who was absolutely thrown in. But, I mean, they pulled absolutely miles clear of the rest. And I think AC Milan's going to improve significantly for a step up to 3 miles. And on soft ground as well, because he really likes a bit of cutting the ground. That's a good point. Now, how soft is this ground going to be at Haydock, do you think? We're looking at good to soft, but I just have it in my head that Haydock, at this time of year...
always soft.
It's always soft. I mean, how good to soft can it be? It's surely not going to be on the good side of soft. It's surely going to be on the soft side of good to soft.
What do you think, DJ?
Ground-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it. I'd say it'll be what we would call, I suppose... yielding in Ireland, I'd say it's going to be on the soft side of good, I'd imagine. But okay. I'm no Paul Keighley when it comes to weather.
I know. Need to get his sort of weather sources on, don't we? Anyway, G-Rod, so you're sticking with AC Milan, very good bumper horse.
Yeah, I think AC Milan will win it. And I think Tedham could run well for John Joe at a slightly shorter price. But at the bigger price, AC Milan each way for me.
Okay. We'll go to Niall then for the prices. I believe Umbregado is your favourite, Niall.
Yeah, he's our 9-2 favourite. Tedham is 7-1. Lisnagar Oscar 15-2. Highland Hunter 8-1. Aiton Bob 9-1. Breaking Waves 9-1. And 10-1 Bar.
Yeah, it's interesting, DJ, that Willie Mullins sends Aiton Bob over. I'm not sure how many he's had in this race, but it can't be too many. He's quite interesting. What have you got to tell us about him?
Yeah, he's owned by Ruby's wife, David Casey's wife, and there's a few others involved. So a very kind of famous syndicate. I think off 140, it's probably his max. You know, I don't think he's any better than that. He is a thorough stayer, and the trip will suit. I think the track will suit as well. But I just wonder, is there a few more that are better handicapped than him in the race? And the one who I am convinced is the best handicapped horse in the race, Graham mentioned him there, is Tedham. Like, when I look at Tedham, and he's rated 130, when you go through some of his form last season, when he bumped into the likes of Al Dancer and Getaway Trump, he's been crying out for a step up and trip. I really did like his run at Cheltenham. He was really keen and bubbly and exuberant through the first mile of the race. And I thought that was probably a good sign and he was enjoying himself. But it just probably cost him coming down the hill for the final time. When you go into that race, he finished 6th at Cheltenham. The horse who finished 7th to him was a horse called Rapper from Henry Daly stable. That absolutely bolted up yesterday at Market Raisin. I think they've had this race in mind for stepping Tedham up to 3 miles for the first time for ages. I just have it in my head that this has been the plan. Now, in John Joe's stable tour, he wasn't overly convincing. He said he was stiff and sore after Cheltenham. But I'm hoping that this is just a case of let's play it down in the racing post and you know, we'll see what he can do. But I think off 130, I'm convinced he's at least 140 horse. Nick Schofield takes the ride. The ground is fine. The track is perfect. A lovely pipe opener at Cheltenham, and it's a second run after a wind up as well. So I'm really sweet.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I know I was chatting to Tom Collins the other day, another of our Racing Post tipsters, and he believes, I think he's one of his biggest horses to follow for the season. He's with you. He thinks he's really well handicapped. So Tedham, clearly one to keep an eye on in this fixed brush. Now there's endless horses that we haven't mentioned, the likes of At, Ben, Highland Hunter, who are just progressing and we don't know how good they are. Do you have a fancy in this?
Yeah, this is probably my strongest fancy today. And Dave's after tipping it up in Tedham. Dave said the majority of what I was going to say there. He obviously had a brilliant pipe opener, or a very good pipe opener at Cheltenham behind Duke Street. That race was running a very good time and the form is already starting to work out, as Dave has mentioned. He was kept wide and a little bit keen, just as if he needed. Like, and as Dave said, I'd be surprised if they weren't banning this race for a while. Like, it's worth something like 80 or 70 grand to the winner. So it just makes sense to target this type of race. He's a brilliant jumper up a hurdle, really quick and accurate. The ground will be fine. Yeah, I just don't think there's a horse as well handicapped in this race. He's 7 at the moment with ourselves. I think he'll go off favourite.
Okay, very interesting insight then. The 3 o'clock is, of course, the Betfair Chase, the Grade 1 over 3 miles, and Bristol Demise out to win his third running of the race, lost in translation. He was really, really impressive at Carlisle last time, next in. Frodon, third in the old Ronon reappearance, and then Ballyoptic. Just a small field, G-Rod. We've sort of mentioned the ground already, but Bristol Demise, he seems to absolutely excel in these sort of conditions. What is it about Haydock that makes it such a specialist track? I mean, this race itself has had plenty of multiple winners down the years. Q-Card, Silvagnaco, Conti, Corto Star, of course. What is it that makes this track so niche, if you like?
I don't know. It seems to be a bit of a specialist course. And there's some weird sort of sire stats knocking around as well. Certain sires seem to have loads and loads of winners there. Obviously, one of them being Saddler Maker, the sire of Bristol Demise, who accounts for quite a few of those. But there's others as well. Scorpion is another sire who has a lot of his progeny tend to run well at Haydock. So there's obviously something about the jumps track round there that seems to suit Bristol Demise for sure. You just looked a different horse around Haydock to
still third in a good cut though. He is a decent horse on his day, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was a cracking run in the Gold Cup, but no doubt about it. If you take his Haydock performances alone or out of his form, then he's in the superstar mould, isn't he?
Yeah.
At Haydock. But he's just a very good staying chaser elsewhere. So can he be beaten on his home turf? I mean, this is a theme that we're going to come back to later in the show, no doubt. Can a horse on their home turf, like Bristol Demise, be taken on with Lost in Translation here, who looks the big improver, doesn't he?
Yeah,
however,
does.
Last time out at Carlisle, he was wildly impressive, but I don't think he achieved a heck of a lot more than he had already.
Mm.
He'd already proved at Aintree that the step up to 3 mile, 1 furlong suited him, and he did jump around Aintree very well. And purely in terms of form, he was entitled to win that Carlisle race as he did. So I think that everyone's gone a little bit over the top with the way he did it, and no doubt... Not that I'm arguing that he wasn't impressive, because he was, but he didn't show me anything that I didn't think I'd already seen from him. And he is going to have to show us something here to get anywhere near Bristol Demise, because on racing post ratings, Bristol Demise has run to, 176 at Haydock. I think he may have even run to higher than that in the past, and Lost in Translation's on a high of 165. So you're looking at an improvement of nearly £11 on Racing Post ratings from Lost in Translation, just to get competitive with Bristol Demise at Haydock. Yet they're very, very tight in the market. You know, there's not hardly anything between them. What is it, 11 to 10 and 13 to 8, 6 to 4? So there's absolutely no way I could be backing Lost in Translation to beat Bristol Demise at the odds.
Do you think Bristol Demise's a good price?
I think
entitled to be a bit shorter.
Yeah, I was expecting to see him shorter, but it doesn't surprise me, because everyone loves the way that these improvers come through, and obviously Defi Desoy is the form from the JLT looks very strong, and Lost in Translation was wildly impressive at Carlisle, but it doesn't escape the fact that he does need to improve a huge amount to beat Bristol Demise, and I don't think that's reflected in the prices.
Mm. And you'd have it between those two? You wouldn't be interested in Frodon or Ballyoptic at all? Do you think they've got too much to find?
Well, Ballyoptic I couldn't have, but it's worth making the point that Lost in Translation needs to improve significantly just to beat Frodon, judged on his Cheltenham form. But all of Frodon's best form is obviously at Cheltenham. And quite whether he's going to be able to repeat that level at Haydock is another question. And whether and I'll be surprised, to be fair, if Lost in Translation doesn't make enough improvement to beat him. I do expect Lost in Translation to improve, but I'm not sure he'll improve well enough to beat Bristol Demise.
Okay, nicely summed up there. DJ, I mean, if you know me at all, you know I'm the world's biggest Lost in Translation fan, and we do get very sucked into these sort of exuberant first-time out performances, don't we? Do you think G-Rod's right? We're perhaps getting a bit too carried away?
I'm a huge fan of Lost in Translation as well, and I think Defi Desoy and him are two proper, proper top-notchers.
I mean, he boosted his form in the Schlur, didn't he, Defi?
He did, yeah, and I know... Robbie Power was absolutely shocked that Defi was able to pass him in the JLT. He was really shocked. Right, this is the way I'm looking at this race, okay? This is 5 years ago, Arsenal v Stoke at the Britannia Stadium on a Wednesday, a wet, miserable, freezing cold Wednesday night. This is exactly what this is, okay? So if Arsenal were at home to Stoke at the Emirates, they beat them every day of the week. I think if this was anywhere else but Haydock, that loss in translation would beat Bristol De Moy, but it's not. This is where Bristol De Moy gets down and dirty. He gets stuck in. He goes a relentless gallop from the start. And I just wonder, with that relentless gallop, especially with Frodon in there, it is going to test Lawson Translation stamina, no matter what people say. I know it's a small field. Yes, he stayed, and he stayed at Aintree. But I just wonder, up that home straight, I just wonder, will Lawson Translation be vulnerable? As regards a Gold Cup contender, I have no doubt that Lawson Translation is a better horse and a more genuine Gold Cup contender than Bristol De Moy. But we're talking about tomorrow, and these are the facts. Bristol De Moy is 4-4 at Haydock. He's won after a 91-day break. He's won after a 56-day break. He's won after a 212-day break. And he's won after a 226-day break. Last year, he beat the Gold Cup 1-2 in Native River and Might Bite. There was a King George winner in there in Clandon's Oboe, and he absolutely obliterated them. Those are the facts. I think, and the year before, obviously, he beat Q Card by 57 lengths. I think this is Bristol De Moy's Gold Cup. Nigel Twiston Davis knows this horse cannot win a Gold Cup. This is his big day, and I am utterly convinced he will be tuned to the second for this big day. Down the line, no doubt about it, next March, we'll be talking about Lawson Translation. In the King George, we're going to be talking about Lawson Translation. But tomorrow, I think we're going to be talking about Bristol De Moy.
Okay, so two votes then for Bristol De Moy so far, Niall. I mean, obviously, he leads your market at the moment. Can you see the market changing as we get nearer to post-time?
Yeah, Bristol De Moy is currently 6-5, Lawson Translation 11-8, Frodon 13-2, and Ballyopic 14-1. I think Bristol De Moy will go off favourites. And the lads make a very good point. I like how Dave framed the argument there with the Stoke-Arsenal comparison.
Straight over my head.
I'm actually going to side with Lawson Translation here. I've backed him for this triple crown, but I do think this could be the bogey race. And the hope I have of getting Bristol De Moy beaten is I thought he had a very hard race in the Gold Cup last year. Like, I thought a lot of those horses that ran in that race had. And he was really disappointing at Aintree, where he had tended to run quite well before. So I'm just hoping he's enough miles on the clock now that Lawson Translation can take advantage here. I've no doubt he's the better horse, but yeah, he's just one of the best jumpers of the fence in training. Mm. One thing is Haydock. He ran there like 2 years ago in a novice hurdle. He was disappointing. I'm hoping that was down to the heavy ground. I'm glad the ground's not going to be bottomless, because that gives him an even better chance. So yeah, it's Lawson Translation here for me. At the price, I wouldn't be having a massive bet.
Can I just ask you a question, Niall? Yeah. Just with regards Lawson Translation's jumping, do you think for a race like this at Haydock, maybe he's too exuberant and too flamboyant? Do you know what I mean? I can see Bristol De Moy just flicking through them, on to the next one, on to the next one. Whereas visually, Lawson Translation is so spectacular to watch and he stands off them so far. Are you a little bit worried that he just used up a little bit too much energy for that home straight where Bristol De Moy has kind of sickened horses in the last 2 years?
Yeah, potentially. If it had come up heavy or a lot softer than it's going to be, I would have been extremely worried about it. And I would have tipped up Bristol De Moy. But I do think the ground gives him a better chance here. So yeah, that's what I'm going with mainly.
I think as well as people saying he's spectacular sort of off a long stride, when he gets in close, he's very neat as well. I mean, maybe we've just looked at that race and gone, wow, and made it too much of a sort of a big deal, his jumping. But we'll see. It'd be nice to see a new star emerge, wouldn't it, in Lost in Translation. Whether Bristol De Moy will win it again, we'll soon find out. The 3:40 is the final race at Haydock we're going to have a look at. It's the better value on the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Chase. Very long race. This 3 mile, 4.5 furlongs, bound to be a slog. We have two last time out winners, a Late Romantic and Know the Score, who are bound to be of interest to punters. Now, just run us through your betting.
So Late Romantic is the 11-4 favourite. Know the Score 3-1. Moving in Style 7-1. Diger Doughty 8-1. Perfect Candidate 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
Okay, Niall, I'll let you have sort of first pitch with this then. Who did you come down on? Because there's some quite interesting horses in here.
Yeah, I came down on Know the Score for David Pipe. He just looks an out and out stare, and I think he'll relish this test. They obviously taught a lot of him. I think he was bought for 380 grand in 2017. He ran the Champion Bumper that year. Last year, he had a decent season. He just seemed to be struggling to finish out his races. So I'm glad to see he had a wind up at the start of this year. He obviously came out and won first time up quite impressively. And yeah, I think he'll follow up here again.
Yeah, I think he's the one to beat as well. To be honest, beat Daiga Dodi, who you mentioned is also in here, into sixth last time. So that horse is going to have to sharpen up his jumping if he's to be involved. DJ, I mean, what do you think of this as a race? Do you think it's one to go to the younger generation, or there's the likes of Perfect Candidate who's in there as well?
I like Late Romantic, so I'm somewhere in the middle, nine-year-olds. He's rated 130, went up £1 for winning last time at Wetherby, where I thought he was quite impressive. I just think with Late Romantic, like if you go back to his run against, I think it's one of Niall's favourite horses in training, the Rasher Counter at Eutoxer in March, like that was a real good run in the context of this race. I think he's a dour stayer. And I just think the style of the race will suit. Now, I'm not saying he's a certainty by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think he's a horse that's a stayer going places, and I think he could be hard to beat here.
Okay, nice and simple. And G-Rod?
So just doing my sums on my fingers there, because I fancy Digger Dodi to reverse the form.
You do?
With
okay.
No to score. They're going to be racing, I hope, off level weights here. They are, yes. 11 stone 8, they're both going to be racing off here. And last time out at Worcester, Digger Dodi was attempting to give £7 to know the score, and the market made him a warm favourite to do so. Yes, he wasn't able to do it. He did finish sixth, and he lost his place down the back straight. But in the home straight, he really, really powers home. And I've gone through the quotes, and Charlie Longston says Digger Dodi has a really bad habit of hitting a flat spot before running on really strongly again. And it's
a
case of trying
stayer,
to keep him on, or keep him up there with them. So I'm expecting he's got Paul O'Brien riding here, claiming £3 rather than Richard Johnson. Now, Richard Johnson wasn't able to keep him in touch at Worcester, but I mean, 2 mile, I think it was 2 mile 7 at Worcester, quite a tight track around there. Whereas now we're looking at 3 mile 4.5 furlongs around a more galloping circuit, Haydock. That is really going to suit Digger Dodi down to the ground. All he does is stay. And provided there's plenty of cut in the ground, I'll be fairly confident that he can reverse the places with Know the Score on £7 better terms, given this greater emphasis on stamina.
Okay, so don't discount Digger Dodi then, or however we're pronouncing it. I'm sure we could all pronounce it about 5 different ways. Good novice hurdler last season, just looks a very, very strong stayer. We're going to take a break now before we get on to the race that absolutely everybody is talking about.
So does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. 1 per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday tipping postcast then. And now it's time to nail your colours to the mast in the Christie 1965 Chase. It's the Grade 2. Just the 3 runners, of course. Altior v Surname. And we've also got Dan Skelton's horse Solomon Grey in there as well. Now, interestingly, you know, there's £1 that separates these on official ratings. They both had wind ops. Altior's going for his 20th consecutive victory, his 11th Grade 1. What a horse we're talking about. But a fair few judges think he has found his match in Surname, who was absolutely spectacular at the track over the course and distance last season. Right, G-Rob, we'll go to you first. What's your view on this race? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's a real mouth-watering clash, isn't it? I can't wait for this one. It's a tough one as a punter because, obviously, if you want to take Altior on like I do, then you're sitting there going to yourself, well, this is just a win machine. He's won 20 of his 22 starts. He's unbeaten in 14 chases. He hardly ever loses. Mm. However, a lot of these victories have been coming against significantly inferior opposition, which is why he's rated only 175. That doesn't really even put him up with the greats of the game. Despite his fantastic win record, he would still be quite a way behind the great two-milers, Masterminded's and Sprinter Sacra. Sprinter Sacra is rated 188. You know, so if this was a handicap, strictly speaking, you'd be saying, well, Sprinter Sacra wouldn't have to give Altior £13. Is Sprinter Sacra £13 better horse than Altior? I guess we'll never know, but it would have been a fantastic spectacle to have seen. It's a shame they just came along at slightly different times. But for that reason, as I say, I think he's a great horse, but I don't think there's anything spectacular about him, and I didn't like the way he appeared to go backwards towards the end of last season. If you look at these, I know he kept winning, but if you look at his Racing Post ratings, I mean, he made really, really hard work of winning the Champion Chase at 4-11, and it was not a strong Champion Chase. You know, Politolog was second, who was well beaten by Defi de Soy at Cheltenham the other day, and Altior, I think he only beat him a length and a quarter, and Turning for Home, I thought he was beaten. And then he ran to a Racing Post rating of 170 when he won the Celebration Chase at Sandown, when he again was pretty much all out to beat So Royal. Now, maybe that's because he isn't as good at 2 miles. But if he's not as good as two miles, then is he as good? That's the question you have to ask. Yeah. And this time, he is really going to have to be at his best to beat Surname, because we know that Surname is probably going to be at his best here, because this is Surname's home ground. This is his home turf.
Like Bristol Demae.
Like Bristol Demae. If there's one place where Paul Nicholls will want to be taking on Altior, it's around here at Ascot, where Surname produced two absolutely magnificent performances over the course and distance last season. In fantastic times, he absolutely slammed a top field of handicappers off top weight there, and then obviously blew away waiting patiently in a Grade 1 field in the Ascot Chase. He's the one who's going forward. His last two Racing Post ratings are 178 and 180, as opposed to Altior's 174 and 170. I'd always rather be with a horse that appears to be on the up than the one who appears to be on the down. And although he keeps winning, I think Altior is on his way down, sadly. And I'm going to take a chance on Surname turning up at his absolute best form. And if he does, I think he will have improved enough over the summer break to finally inflict a defeat on the great Altior.
Okay, well summed up. I mean, Niall, has there been much sort of betting activity on this midweek? Because it's certainly polarised a lot of people.
Yeah, it's been mixed. I think everyone's just been kind of waiting for the day. It hasn't seen a huge amount of action. Off the two, I'm actually going to side with Altior. I was with Surname in the lead up to the race, but then the more I looked at his form and reappearance, it got me very worried. Like, most of the worst runs of his career have come in reappearance. And although Paul Nicholls has said today that he's fully ready, I still have my doubts whether he'll be in top form, which I think he'll need to beat Altior. As Graham said, like, he's won, was it 14 chase starts? So he's very difficult to beat. I actually think he'll probably improve for this step up and trip as well. He has plenty of form around Ascot. I know he jumped left a couple of times last year, but yeah, he's had a wind up. The trainer thinks he's in cracking form. I'd find it hard to make a strong case for Surname. Like, if he was to turn up in that form he was in February when he beat Waiting Patiently, he'd be very difficult to beat. But I just have my doubts he's going to be. So yeah, outside of Altior.
Yeah, I'm a bit like you, I must admit. Initially, I was in the Surname camp, but now I'm looking at it and I just think this horse has won, I think, 19 of his starts over obstacles. Maybe we're all going mad trying to take him on. DJ, how do you sum it up?
Very straightforward. I cannot believe that Graham has tipped Surname. I really can't. It kind of frustrates me a little bit, the whole Altior bashing thing, because I don't think his style of running and the way he is, and he's got so clever. When a horse wins so often, they get quite clever, I'm convinced. And I think he's completely docile. I do not subscribe to Graham's theory at all that he's on the way down. I really don't. When a horse keeps winning, it's very hard to say they're on the way down. We're only looking at the figures, and you're saying the Racing Post ratings are on decline. But like, when a horse is dossing and idling and only doing what he has to because he knows that's what he has to do to win races, it's very hard to say a horse is on the decline. I think he's one of the best horses I've seen in my lifetime. And we're talking about him take. I know a horse can improve, and I know Surname has improved out of all recognition, but you're talking about him taking on a horse who finished 7th in a handicap at Ascot this time last year off a mark of 150, okay? Now, obviously, since that, he has improved out of all recognition in 2 starts, but I have serious question marks about his form in the Betfair Ascot Chase in February. Waiting Patiently was 2nd, who came into the race on the back of a fall and in the King George, and didn't seem himself afterwards at all. So I think something happened that day in the King George where he wasn't himself afterwards. The 3rd and 4th were Fox Norton and Politolog, who are blatant non-stayers. And Surname absolutely turned that into a stamina test from the front. So I have serious reservations about the form of that race. While on the figures it looks spectacular, I'm not sure how spectacular it was. Like, this is this is a different level altogether. Like, I think Altior is absolutely exceptional. I think the step up in triple suit, and I will be absolutely shocked if Altior is on his game and he's firing in all cylinders here. I will be flabbergasted if he's beaten.
Would you worry at all before we move on about his jumping in the Clarence House last season? Quite a lot was made of that. Do you again just think that was him sort of taking his eye off the ball almost?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen a little snippet of, I think it's Lydia Hislop's road to Cheltenham
with
Ruby Walsh.
This is what I was coming to, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ruby actually spoke real sense, and he said that, you know, the fences are kind of slowing him down a little bit, and he's not lightning quick. He doesn't like brush through the top. He does slow up a little bit and try and meet them on the stride and basically jump them rather than flick through them. So I do think that's interesting. But this horse has so much natural ability. Like, look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll hold my hands up and say I got that completely wrong and Surname is a second coming. But until I see it, I can't believe we're even talking about it.
Okay, so very, very strong thoughts there from Graham Rodway, who's laughing, and DJ. We're going to move on to the next race. Actually, before we do now, you probably best, I don't think you mentioned the prices there. What prices are you now, Altior and Surname?
We're 4-6 Altior and 5-4 Surname, Maddie. Solomon Gray, 60-61.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Yes, that 240 is the Coral Hurdle now. Aintree form coming to play here with If the Cap Fits and Roxana. Obviously, If the Cap Fits won the race last year. We've got the 2017 winner, Lil Rockefeller, in here as well. A strange division in a way. Call Me Lord, I think, leads quite a few of the markets, Niall.
Yeah, Call Me Lords are 7-4 favoured. If Cap Fits is 5-2, Roxana 5-2, Le Patriot 15-2, Little Rockefeller 12, and Blue Cavalier is 33-1.
Thanks very much. Now, DJ, maybe, I mean, again, I'm preparing to look an idiot here, but Call Me Lord, I'm just not sure about this horse at all. I mean, I can't really see why he's favourite. Do you have any enthusiasm? Can you explain to me why you think that people like him so much?
Oh, Maddie, I think he'll win.
You think he'll win? Go on,
I
then.
Do, yeah. Yeah, I think their excuses for his last two runs. Sorry about this now. This is not just, like, I actually have it written down.
No,
here.
No, go for it. This is what I wanted you to do.
I just think there's excuses for his last two runs. Like, Nicky openly admitted that he wasn't near ready enough for the long walk last year. It was kind of a race he had to go for because the division looked absolutely wide open at the time. And it was only that day, really, that Paisley Park stamped his authority on the Staying Hurdle division. He got injured then in the Imperial Cup. So if you take out them two runs, you've got yourself a really, really top-class horse. And I go back to that run at Sandown. I know it was, you know, late April 2018, and that's a long time ago, but he's only had two starts since then, and he absolutely hammered, like, really good horses. Like, there was 16 lengths back to Little Rockefeller, who was second. There was another 6 lengths to Holstone, who was third. Old Guard was a further eight lengths behind in fourth, and he made them look really, really ordinary. I think when he's on his game, and he is unpredictable, but I think when he's on his game, he's very, very good, and I think this is the ideal race for him. Like, this is a bit like Bristol the Mile earlier on. Like, I think with Call Me Lord, there's only a certain amount of races he can win in a season. And a grade two over this trip at Ascot on this ground, like, these are his terms and conditions. I think he'd be very hard to beat.
That's very true. Maybe I wasn't aware of those excuses, or I chose to ignore them. I'm not as forgiving as you, DJ, obviously.
I'm very forgiving.
G-Rod, as I said, on sort of form, I mean, DJ sort of made me rethink it. But Call Me Lord, would you be with him or against him?
I agree with DJ, yeah.
Hey! Everyone's going to agree with DJ. Hey! I'm going to look an absolute fool after this. Go on then.
I think Call Me Lord will win. Most of his best forms at Sandown, but a very similar track. Sandown and Ascot, you know, a very similar tracks. Right-handed, stiff venues. He was disappointing here, obviously, in the long walk last year, but not a lot went right in that race. You know, he got hampered at a few occasions. That was obviously over 3 miles as well. I think a reproduction of his win over, was it 2.6 or 2.5 at Sandown back in April 2018. That would be more than good enough. And he ran an absolute stormer over 2 miles at Sandown in the Imperial Cup when he was attempting to give lumps of weight to Malaya and Monsieur Lecoq, who's obviously come out and won since and was well handicapped. I think Call Me Lord going up to 2.5 will really bring out the best in him. Nicky Henderson's usually go well fresh, and he's got a fair record fresh too. Roxana is a huge runner for Dan Skelton, the improving, I think she's a mare, isn't she?
Yeah.
And She probably would have won that race at Aintree last year, the 3 mile race, but for a mistake at the last. And I think she is going forward quite nicely, and she could develop into a decent stayer this year. But I do think she wants a bit further than this distance.
Okay.
And I think Call Me Lord might have a little bit too much tofu on these terms.
Okay. No one's mentioned If the Cap Fits yet. Are you going to mention him now?
Yeah, in that I don't fancy him. I am actually going to agree with you. I'm not saying Call Me Lord can't win, but at the price, I'll definitely be a layer. He's 3 from 4 at Sandown and 0 from 3 elsewhere. On those 3 starts, he hasn't run within £20 of his best. So at 7 of 4, I'll definitely take him on. The one I'm going to cite is Roxana, who just looked rock solid to me. She should have won at Aintree last time. I think if Harry Skelton could get it right back this year, he'd get that one back, because he definitely should have gone for her earlier. Made a mistake at the last, which probably cost her as well. This trip should just about suit her. She probably wants slightly further. If the Cap Fits, definitely wants further and has a penalty here. So, yeah, Roxana for me, I think she's very solid.
I think I'd agree with you inside with Roxana as well. It's going to be a very entertaining race that would split us all down the middle. Right, the 3:20 is another really good race. It's the Gerard Bertrand Hurst Park Handicap Chase over 2 miles and a furlong. And it's going to be an interesting replay of the listed 2 mile race at Ascot not so long ago, which saw Capeland dramatically carried out by Diego de Charmel at the last, who did eventually keep the race. Capeland obviously was disqualified. He's on the same mark here. But we also have impressive Aintree win at the last day, as well as the likes of Knocknanoo, Sperideck and Cade Delan, who won the race last year. Run us through the market, Niall.
Yes, so the last days are 3-1 favourite. Diego de Charmel 7-2, Capeland 4-1, Knocknanoo 9-2, Sperideck 8-1, Ballywood 10-1, Anato 10-1. And 12-1 bar.
Excellent. Now, DJ, they've left Capeland on this same mark. That's sure to look attractive to a lot of people. Is it interesting you at all?
Not really. I think this is a better race. I think this is a really, really strong race. I think I've narrowed down to 2. Like, the last day deserves to be favoured. Absolutely bolted up at Aintree, up £11. Like, I thought Adam Wedge did everything to basically make it look as hard work as it was. Like, I think it could have won by 5. I thought it could have won by 15. So, like, he certainly does have that improvement in him. Like, he could take advantage of that mark. But I still think Knocknanoo is really well handicapped off 146. I fancied him for the Betfictor Gold Cup. I think he was lame at declaration time, so he didn't run. I do think he's crying out for a step up and trip, and I think he's I think he's deceptive because he's so keen and so fresh and free. It makes him look like he's all speed, but I'm not quite sure if he is. And I just think this race might be run to suit. Sperideck is in there. It's going to be a proper test. And I think Knocknanoo has what it takes to win a big handicap like this. Like, there's huge prize money for this race. It's remarkable, really. I think Blinkers could help.
I found that an absolutely baffling decision, because you look at a horse who is so free and so enthusiastic, as you say, and I think Blinkers, really, but maybe it'll just help him concentrate and be a bit less wayward. What did you reckon?
Yeah, like, there's a couple of times where I just didn't think he was just concentrating on the job in hand. Like, when he fell at Leopardstown last February, I just thought it was a remarkable fall. Like, it just looked as though his mind was elsewhere altogether. So I just think there might just be a little bit of improvement that is required. One thing I was a little bit worried about was all his runs basically have been left-handed, but he's only ran once going right-handed, if you can call it right-handed, at Fontwell. And is Fontwell right-handed? I don't know. It's kind of a bit
both.
Of both,
it's
really.
Both, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, figure eight, I know. But so it is worrying that maybe it's just coincidence that he hasn't ran right-handed and all his runs have been left-handed. But I'm willing to give him another chance. Blinkers on, off 146. I think there's a big handicap in him, so Knocknanoo for me.
Okay, I'm sure Paul Keely will agree with you. He was very keen on him for the Betfictor before he didn't run. G-Rod, this is a deep race, isn't it?
Yeah, I fancy Sperideck. I tipped this horse last time. When it ran in the race behind Capeland and half the other fielder in this same race, on the fact that I thought it was remarkably well handicapped and didn't like the ride. He didn't jump off and make all. This horse has got one way of going and he has to blast from the front. And just didn't seem to bothered about trying to make the run in, and he just sidled back through the field. I think he finished sixth in the end. Now, he's gone he's gone down £3 in the weights, and I thought he was remarkably well handicapped for that race last time, and he's running off £3 lower here. And I noticed that Sean Bowen's not riding him this time. David Noonan's on instead. Sean Bowen's actually riding Kay Delan. Now, Kay Delan won this race, beating Sperodek last year. Sperodek was trying to give him £12, Kay Delan. He's only got to give him £2 this time, so he's £10 better off with Kay Delan. Now, the big worry, as Badijay's already said, is that Knocknanoos has got blinkers on, and that's only got one way of running, and that is to go from the front, and that Knocknanoos is definitely going to go off and blast from the front. But Sperodek can go with the best of them. He's a real tear away as well, and I'm expecting them to ride Sperodek a lot more aggressively this time, because I think that he'll be fully fit after that pipe opener last month, and Sperodek's a really strong stayer at the trip. Obviously Knocknanoos stays further as well, and I could see it becoming a real war up the straight, and I think Sperodek will really be suited by it. He probably wants a bit further, but all his best form is at Ascot with plenty of cut in the ground, so I'm going to take a chance on Sperodek.
Okay, a slightly bigger price for him then. Niall, finally, who are you siding with?
It's Fav at the moment, but the last day for me, it just went so easily at Aintree. The back was as if the beat was out of the question. He had been really well backed for that race that Diego de Charmiel won before being a non-runner. I think he was into near favour and we had laid plenty of him. They obviously think he's very well handicapped. Even if you go back to last season on his reappearance, he was running a very good race playing Knocknanoos, who got kind of loose at the lead, on the lead at Newbury. And he fell, I think, the last day, the second last. But he just looks so well treated to me. Adam Wedge comes here for the ride over going to Haydock. There's one I really fancy, the 150 bold plan. So they obviously quite fancy it. Yeah, I'm just going to side with him.
Okay, let's move on then to Goram Park. There's also a good race there on Saturday. It's the Talbot Hotel Carlo Chase over 2.5 miles. And some old favourites in here. We've got Mengli Khan, Get a Bird, Mortal and Paloma Blue. Could be a decent race, DJ.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's reasonably straightforward. I think Get a Bird will win. Rating suggests he probably won't, because Mengli Khan is the highest rated runner in the race. Now, if I had a list of horses I dislike in training, Mengli Khan would be number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, because he is just, spoke to Gordon Elliott about him. He's just so frustrated. Maybe he's just had too much racing over the years, and you know, he ran the Racing Post Trophy. I really fancy him the last day at Down Royal, but he could do anything. Like, he literally could do it. Like, he literally stopped to walk the last day and said to Keith Donoghue, "I don't want to go any further," and that is just it. Now, I presume they'll ride him differently this time and they'll hold him up, but I just washed my hands completely of Mengli Khan, and I swore never again would I tip him or back him, no matter what he was running in. So that rules Mengli Khan out anyway, and I think Get a Bird, right-handed, on this type of ground, I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, we're rattling through these, so we might as well just quickly move on. Also, a word on the Beginner's Chase, which sees Manella Indo and Lorena face off. Niall, any thoughts on this? I mean, Lorena, she's been talked up as a chaser for some time. It'd be good to see her season kick off, and she's got a very, very tough opponent in Manella Indo.
I probably just about side at Manella Indo. He just looks a top-class horse. He'd be my pick for the RSA at this point. Lorena, a bit disappointing in the Champion Hurdle, so I don't know. Yeah, I'd side it with Manella Indo.
Okay, DJ, anything to add? I must admit, I'm a big Manella Indo fan.
Yeah, no, I think Lorena will win that. I think I'd imagine Manella Indo might need just a few runs just to get fully cherry ripe. So I just think, going down the line, I think he definitely could have a say in the RSA. Geez, that rhymes. I think tomorrow Lorena will win that.
Okay, sure to be an exciting contest, that's for sure. Any other fancies on Saturday, G-Rod? I know you like one at Haydock, was it?
Yeah, I'm going to go through the card at Haydock tomorrow, I expect. So I'm going to fill in the other races that we haven't covered. In the first race, there's a really nice, lightly raced horse called Balinska, trained
fan,
by
yeah.
Evan Williams. Looks a potential star in the making. A point winner, won nicely Hurdle's debut. I think that Balinska will be take a world of beating in the 12.05 at Haydock to kick off the day. And then we're going on to the 12.40 at Haydock, which is a big stay-in handicap. Back to the Thatch, Henry Daly and Tom O'Brien. This one's a real dour stayer. He likes testing ground. Two of his four highest Racing Post ratings have come on such conditions at Haydock. I think he's going to get that at Haydock again. He's off a lightweight. I think Back to the Thatch can win the 12.40. And the 150 at Haydock, at a huge price, Man of Plenty. I really like this horse. I tipped him when he ran a cracker at the Punchestown Festival last year and backed him, and it proved very costly because he got disqualified for the rider weighing in light, which really was frustrating. I tipped him again, I think twice already this season. He finished eighth at Chepstow first time out, but the run that really caught my eye was when he finished sixth in the Welsh Champion Hurdle. And watch that race back on the Racing Post replays if you can, because it was an eye-catching effort. He stayed on really strongly over 2 miles to finish behind Monsieur Lecoq, who obviously has gone on to finish third in the Great Wood at Cheltenham. Colonel Custard went on to finish second in a hot race at Fontwell last time. The fifth, Chitty Balco, came out and won again next time. And Man of Plenty was a fast finishing sixth just off the tail of Chitty Balco, and looks for all the world like he wants to step up in distance. Gets that here over 2 mile, I think it's 2 mile 3, at Haydock. And with Liam Harrison, who's excellent value for £7 claim, I think Man of Plenty is a fantastic bet in the 150 at Haydock.
Brilliant. You're going to go through the card then, easy as that. DJ, are you taking on any of G-Rod's selections?
No. I let him get his lucky 63 up. I'm going for... I just have one. And it's actually a horse that you have mentioned on the show before, Maddie. I hope you've got this horse on your tracker, because I think tomorrow will be the day for Dacia Abba in the 12:55 at Ascot.
Well remembered.
Now, this horse was pulled up last time at Aintree, but you'll see a P next to his name, and obviously that's not overly encouraging. But I thought for three quarters of the race, he actually shaped with real promise, was held up way out the back to get kind of a good experience by Richard Johnson, and was creeping into the race nicely, I thought, coming to the cross fence. And then his run just petered out. I'd say he wasn't fit enough to make up that ground. I think somewhere in there does the makings of a really good staying chaser. He's obviously very tricky. Like when he won last year at Chepstow, he absolutely bolted up. Queen of Hearts was second, who went on to be
really good race, that wasn't it?
Yeah. No, the score who runs tomorrow was third. It was a really good race. I love the way he jumped for most of the race at Aintree. I think there's an engine in there. I think this race will suit. Now, Pym is a danger, but Pym is always going to be well backed because he's a little bit overrated. Like Dacia Abbott, to me, if he gets his act together, he's at least a 140 horse. He's run off a mark of 132. If things go right tomorrow, I'd be disappointed if he's not good enough.
Okay, brilliant. I must admit, I am a big fan of Dacia Abbott, but he's a bit quirky, isn't he? Maybe not all that straightforward. We'll have to see how he gets on. And now, quickly, before we get the naps.
I just have two at Haydock. So in the 150, I'm taking on Graham with Bold Plan. I mentioned him earlier in the podcast. He was very disappointing in reappearance at Sheps, though. But he obviously, I'd imagine he needed the run. And I think he'd strip a lot better here. He ran an excellent race last season in a good race at your top sitter behind Poker Play, being the only one who made up ground from being held up to finish a very good second. That run just tells me he's very well handicapped. And they booked Robbie Power with Adam Wedge going to Ascot, as I mentioned earlier. So I really like his chances here. In the 12:40, Haydock back to detach. Ran really well here last year in a good race behind Chef Duvray, I think it was, and had a pipe opener in a very good race at Cheltenham earlier this year when West Approach was second. It was one with conditional. I thought he shaped really well there. This looked a lot weaker and he's got Haydock form, so that's back to the patch.
Okay, so you and Graham are both agreeing on that one, and now it's time to get those all-important naps.
This will not be beaten.
DJ, I'll let you go first. Who's your best bet?
Yes, Nyla's going to be sick. I said if she comes to me first, I'll pick it, and I'll pick something else if you go to Niall. Mine is Tedham, the 225 at Haydock.
Okay, Niall, are you a big Tedham fan as well?
Yeah, I don't have a backup, so I'll go Tedham, 225 Haydock.
Brilliant, two of the same one. G-Rod?
Man of Plenty, 150 at Haydock each way, as many places as you can get. I think this horse is a massive price. I think you're going to get 25, 33 to 1. I'll be massively disappointed if he isn't rewarding each way support at the very least.
Love it. Absolutely love that. Keep your eye on Man of Plenty then for G-Rod. We'll take a quick break now before looking at Sunday's action. Some good quality Irish rating.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then. Quickly, we're going to talk about Navan on Sunday. The 1 o'clock is the Monksfield Novice Hurdle. It's a grade 3 over 2.5 miles. And Abacadabras, I can't believe I've said that correctly because it hasn't got an R in it. It's been confusing me all morning. Won the grade 3 at Navan last time over the course and distance. Looked very impressive. Can he do it again, DJ?
Yeah, if you think you're bad at pronouncing it, you should try and listen to Gordon Elliott trying to pronounce it. It's quite funny. Yeah, this is a funny race because Six Shooter is entered in Goran tomorrow. So and the three main fancies in the race are all Gigginstown. So it'll be just interesting to see. You'd probably have to wait until the day to see what shows up. I think over this trip at Nav and a big galloping track, I think this is Fury Road's bread and butter. I think he's kind of like Gordon Elliott. So many novices, like, you know, Envoy Allen, Abacadabras. He's got Andy Dufresne. He's got so many that Fury Road has kind of got a little bit lost in all the talk. But he jumped absolutely brilliantly at Down Royal. Last year, they thought he was, you know, possibly their second best bumper horse after Envoy Allen, and maybe third after Malone Road. But he's a proper stayer. Davy Russell will turn this into a real test, and he could be hard to catch. So Fury Road for me.
Okay, DJ taking on Abacadabras then. Niall, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I just find it a bit confusing with Six Shooter entered tomorrow. If he does run, I'd really fancy him for Noel Mead. I just think he could be top class. Every way he slices form from last year in bumpers, beating Soviet Pimpernel 5 lengths, beating the big getaway and Fury Road of Punchestown. I think he could be a top class horse. So Six Shooter runs there, I fancy him.
Okay, and this is a hot division, G-Rod. I mean, Abracadabras, how can he feature?
Yeah, he obviously ran a cracker in the champion bumper last year, didn't he? But I'm with DJ. I mean, he's got to give £6 here to his stablemate Fury Road. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they decide who's going to ride these, but especially after the arguments or whatever that have gone on. But I always think that Davy Russell is kind of their first jockey. I don't know if that's right, but yeah, I thought Fury Road was the bet.
Okay, nice and simple. The 2:30 is the Ladbrokes Troy Town Handicap Chase over 3 miles, and the connections of Discorama have chosen to go here as opposed to the Ladbrokes Trophy. He's the top weight, but again, as you'd expect, plenty of exciting horses on the up in this. I know Chris's Dream, we did a story on him yesterday. Robbie Power, very excited to get on board. He's bound to be a favourite with many. Niall, have you got any betting?
We do, Maddie. I just don't have it open. Just come back to me. I'll have to.
Will do. DJ, how do you summarise this race? Is there one you've got an eye on? Because there's a horse I really like in this.
Yeah, the one I like now, I was initially given Prince of Scars a bit of a chance, but he wasn't declared, which was a little bit worrying. But the one I like is Tower Bridge for Joseph O'Brien and JJ Slevin. They've waited a long time to step this horse up to his proper trip, and I think you could see the best of him now. Like, he was a grade one winner over hurdles, and I thought he ran really well behind Duke de Geneva and the Close Brothers at Cheltenham. Lovely comeback effort in the beginner's chase at Nace. To me, I don't think it's a coincidence that they've waited till the Troy Town to step him up to 3 miles. JJ Slevin rides for Joseph. He's unexposed. Could have a few pound in hand, so Tower Bridge for me.
Okay, remarkably, JP McManus has got 9 runners in this, Gigginstown 4 as it stands. G-Rod, any fancies?
I really like this race every year. I think it's a great handicap, and I think Discorama's got a class edge here off top weight. I know he's going to be carrying top weight, but Sean O'Keefe's claiming 5, so he'll only be carrying 11 stone, 5 pound. He obviously finished second at Cheltenham in that National Hunt chase, beaten nothing by the horse of Ben Paulings, yeah, Le Brule, and ran well on his comeback. And I just thought that he might outclass them.
Okay, nice and simple. Before we go back to Niall, then I'll just say Shady Operator's one horse that I've really got my eye on. I'm not sure if necessarily this will be the day for him. I'm sure I've mentioned him on these podcasts before, but I think he's well handicapped. I think he does want 3 miles now, but he just needs to brush up his jumping a bit. So maybe first time out, not the time to catch him, but I definitely think he's worth keeping an eye on. And Niall, are you ready yet?
I am, yeah. Portmore Lock is our 5-1 favourite. Discorama 13-2. Tower Bridge 8-1. Ravenhill 8-1. Chris's Dream 10-1. Your horse Shady Operator is 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Will you be having a bet?
I will, yeah. The one I came down on is a horse you mentioned earlier, Chris's Dream. Just of a mark of 146. I think he looks quite unexposed to me. He's 2 from 2 at Navan. On his day, he can be very difficult to beat. He's a very good jumper. He was a little bit inconsistent last season, but I'd imagine they've targeted this race with him, given that he's 2 from 2 at Navan. So yeah, that's Chris's Dream for me. He's around 10-1.
Fantastic. And on that note, that's all we've got time for today. Hope you enjoy an excellent weekend of action. Let us know who you're backing on our YouTube channel, and I'll see you again on Monday.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily Jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.